capitalism's economic instability and the new normal volatility in world supply chains. Judy Beeshan, Socialist Party Executive Committee. The recent acute shortages of energy, goods, and labour in some sectors in the UK stems in large part from UK-specific capitalist failings. But the volatile world situation is part of the background to those crises, in particular because of the COVID pandemic disruption to supply chains and travel internationally. Following the sharp economic falls during the lockdowns, rapid rebounds in export volumes and overall economic growth have put great stress on the just-in-time connections in supply chains. This is together with trade and economies still being adversely affected by ongoing post-lockdown pandemic control measures, especially those affecting travel and transport. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, stated in its September 2021 assessment, economic growth has picked up this year, helped by strong policy support, the deployment of effective vaccines and the resumption of many economic activities. Global GDP has now surpassed its pre-pandemic level, but output and employment gaps remain in many countries, particularly in emerging market and developing economies, where vaccination rates are low. Sizable uncertainty remains. Rises in commodity prices and shipping costs are key factors in the uncertainty and turmoil, and are being reflected in increases in inflation in a number of countries. Extreme weather events also contribute to the uncertainty. There are many recent examples of them impacting on economies and trade, including the disruption of rail, sea and air transport when a typhoon hit China in July 2021. Protectionism. The growth rate of world trade was already in decline before the pandemic, and the post-pandemic outlook doesn't point towards a reversal of that trend. A key factor behind the decline has been the increase in trade protectionism of the US and other countries, including against China. The average US tariff on Chinese imports last year was 19.3%, over 6 times higher than the average rate in 2017. Another factor has been firms moving some or all of their production back home, whether due to costs, logistics, or other reasons. Also, some corporations have reduced the quantity of product parts they import from other companies abroad, instead sourcing more from within their home country than previously, as many firms in China have done. The pandemic has only increased the pressures on governments and big business to resort to protectionist measures. This is partly because it has brought out the futility of relying on market forces in a capitalist world to deliver vital products to the places of need. This protectionism isn't on the whole favorable for the capitalist classes internationally. Ideally, they want the highest possible levels of trade, to try to extend their own markets, and for the competition generated to be an impetus to investment, productivity and therefore the health of the entire capitalist system. But the insurmountable contradictions in the system, analyzed and explained over 170 years ago by Marx and Engels, underlie what is today a system in long-term decline, unable to deliver healthy growth. None of the problems and fault lines that led to the 2008-09 recession have since been solved. Among them, debt levels are now greater than ever, an enormous potentially destabilizing factor. The present bounce back of many economies can appear superficially as a sign of healthy growth, but it's mainly just an inevitable sequel to the lockdown semi-paralysis of huge sectors. As such, a return to the pre-pandemic cycles of weak growth rates interspersed with recessions, which could be very severe, looms ahead. Complex supply chains. This doesn't mean that the highly complicated, web-like supply chains, built up particularly in the last decades of the last century, will be coming to an end. Rather, they have been facing changes that limit their expansion, which has contributed to the global slowing of trade in relation to the rate of economic growth. Multinationals have been reviewing whether they rely too much on suppliers that might become unreliable or otherwise counterproductive. Along with this is pressure to step back somewhat from just-in-time deliveries, as the economic upheavals of 2007-09 and during the pandemic have exposed the dangers for them of keeping stock levels at ultra-low levels at every stage of production. Journalist Samanth Subramanian gave an example of the complexity of the chains. A t-shirt sold in New Delhi might be made of cotton grown in India, blended with other cotton from Australia, spun into yarn in Vietnam, woven into cloth in Turkey, sewn and cut in Portugal, bought by a Norwegian company, and shipped back to India, and that's a relatively simple supply chain. He outlined a case that took place 5 years ago. Bed linen company Wellspun was caught out for labeling much of its product as 100% Egyptian cotton when a large quantity of it hadn't come from Egypt at all. Wellspun had bought its cotton from many different companies and had difficulty in identifying where in the chain the fraud had arisen. Workers' power nevertheless, whatever company bosses do to try to improve the reliability of their trading, or in many cases, to deliberately obfuscate their sources, they aren't able to end their reliance on workers' labor. The recent shortages and logistics problems have had the side effect of workers in the affected sectors being in a position of having greater potential power in their trade union struggles for better wages and conditions. Also, during the pandemic, the increase in online buying and selling, due to more of it being done from homes, has led to higher numbers of workers being needed in warehouses and delivery jobs, so they have a boost to their negotiating power too. As well, the pandemic has raised consciousness worldwide on the crucial role played by the working class that has delivered healthcare, cleaning, food supplies and all the other basic tasks that have kept society running. Capitalist governments deny those workers a decent wage in most countries, while at the same time they have resorted to spending vast sums of money on quantitative easing programs to prop up their system and primarily serve the interests of big business. This adds to the urgency of workers turning to the political front as well as fighting industrially, to the task of building new mass workers' parties that can put forward a socialist alternative to capitalism.